I really enjoyed The Big Dog. I thought it was a great film. And you are the writer and director. Can you tell us a little bit about how this all came about?
Yeah, sure. So I had been kind of making short films and things for a while, and I had been, kind of trying to mount my debut feature, and I was having a bit of trouble doing it, and kind of getting something off the ground, and then I saw kind of a pathway to get something made, by going back and doing my master's degree and kind of using that and some of the resources there to help produce a film. And so I went in with a whole bunch of ideas that I thought that I would be able to make in there, and then realized very quickly that none of them were going to work. And then one morning I was just scrolling Instagram and I saw a video that's actually the first scene of the film, of a guy hiding in his car doing a kind of online chin dom session with a dominatrix. And it was just one of those moments that as soon as I saw that, I kind of realized the potential of that first story and where it could go. And it was very, yeah, it was just like a kind of almost like a lightning bolt moment that just, as soon as I saw it, it just struck a chord in me and I knew how to write that story.
Where did you go to do the masters, just as a matter of interest?
At the Australian Film, Television, Radio School.
How clever of you to come up with an alternative way of getting production. I mean, because you've produced films before, you've been quite successful in that area, so you're obviously a person who thinks outside the box.
Yeah, I think with independent production, especially in Australia, you really have to be as resourceful as possible. I think that, we don't really support the kind of really grassroots level indie stuff very well in the country, in this country. So if you're going to make it like, unaided or as unaided as possible, you really have to think of alternate routes to get things made.
One of the things that's so compelling about this particular film is how tight the writing is and how tight the editing is, and also how fantastic the actors are. Now, I think that it's just a fabulously well put together film. I mean, it's you talk about it as being a sort of a going back to films like Three Weddings and a Funeral and things like that, but in actual fact it's almost verging on horror in a kind of a way.
Yeah.
Tell me about the writing, because it's really, really tight. You've done a great job.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, so after I kind of just saw the initial video, I went it was the beginning of COVID and we went into lockdown in Sydney. And so I had a really focused time because I wasn't able to go out and do anything else. I was able to really focus my attention just on having this one project that I was really trying to get as tight as possible. And knowing that it was going to be limited resources to make it, I knew that it had to be really rooted in performance, and the writing of it to really make sure that it doesn't feel, you don't feel the limitations of the budget in a way. I knew if I made it as compelling as possible on the page, and as dramatic and human as possible on the page, then I didn't think that people would notice so much that it was, a low budget film.
Oh, and also you're in one house, in one
Yeah.
neighborhood, in a car, that sort of stuff. So you limit all that. But interestingly enough, it doesn't feel like it's a small film. You succeed in that sort of dramatic state. I mean, there was a film recently, it was a sort of a two-hander like this in a way, that was also about sort of dominatrix kind of arrangements. But this is, your film is far more exciting and much more interesting on a level of personal development, I'd have to say. A Sanctuary, it's called Sanctuary, and it's about a guy,
Oh, yes.
rich guy with a woman that he has an ongoing sort of quasi-sexual relationship, which but it's really about undoing himself and making himself feel like he's a piece of shit. But this
Yeah.
is but this is a much more believable sort of scenario, I have to say.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, we did work a lot, and especially when I was kind of developing it in the writing of it, just to make sure that it was always grounded. And even though it was, you know, a comedy and it was very high stakes and it was like as thrilling as possible, to keep it also as human and involving as possible, you know, just because I knew that it was going to be so performance focused, I had to really make sure that I was giving the cast, you know, a lot of material to really be able to knock it out of the park, which I think they all did. They all did an incredible job.
Oh yeah, I think so too. And the directing, I mean, like the writing is really strong. And I'm assuming that you must have collaborated with your actors. So Julian Garner is great as the main Richard Morgan, but all the others are great as well. But it's a sustained performance, and for him, it must have been a gift from heaven. It's a great performance.
Yeah, it was really funny because we cast it with a casting agent called Danny Long, and we saw a few people, like quite a few people for that role. But he was someone that just really was able to be, you know, like make it feel as high stakes and frantic as possible, but still have a level of awareness and vulnerability underneath that was really important for that character. And also just finding, you know, because it really is an ensemble of the family and the four members, or well, three members of the family and Paige the dominatrix, and finding you know, the actors that could play off each other really well was what it was all about. And you know, getting the dynamics between the performers really well ironed out. And but yeah, I mean, for Julian, it was just about the momentum. Like, he really pushes the story forward and really kind of, yeah, all of that really crazy energy, so much of it comes from him and his performance and how kind of unhinged he got.
Yeah, I know, and you're right. It's high stakes, but it's very personal, and it's quite amazing. I was really blown away, and of course the theatrical trope of the big dog next door was quite. So you've obviously had quite an experience in reading and theatre, and it, like you've got a fairly lively understanding of process when it comes to dramatics.
Yeah. So I did. I went back to afters to try and get this off the ground. But I'd already been through the school twice before, so you know, I had done quite a bit of study there, and you know, a lot of it was, you know, I feel like I just kind of gravitate naturally to more kind of performance focused and writerly kind of focused style of filmmaking. Yeah, I think it is theatrical, and especially, you know, when you have to have something set in one location, you have to kind of use some of those theatrical tropes to open it up a little bit, and kind of add some layers to it when you can't, you know, just cut to a new location or a new place or, you know. So yeah, that's definitely something that I had to lean on.
Well, actually, I'd say that it gives it a strength, but I don't want people to go away thinking that it feels theatrical. This is what you do. You fuse filmic and theatrical depth to create a film that is a rollicking but very dark modern story.
Yeah, and I think it was a lot of work went into getting that tone right, and kind of, you know, it was hard judging how funny or how dramatic it was going to be. And I think up until I saw it with an audience at Sydney Film Festival, I thought it was much more dramatic than it actually plays in an audience. It was far funnier watching it in a full room of people than it was working on the edit, say. Where, you know, jokes kind of lose their humor after the fifth or sixth time. So by the 100th time, it didn't feel like as funny a film as it kind of eventuated to be.
Yeah, well, it's funny you should say that. It's like it's careering down a Salem course in horror, but it's funny as well. So
Yeah.
yeah, you've really succeeded. Tell me about the audience reaction. So I'm quite interested in that.
Yeah, so it was funny because it was the first time that I'd seen it with an audience. We worked on it in the edit and in the kind of post processes for maybe over a year, year and a half, maybe. And so it was quite a long process. And all during that time, I never saw it with an audience. It was just me and my composer or my editor or a sound designer. But then we premiered at Sydney Film Festival, and we sold out all our sessions, which was a huge surprise. And so the first night, going into a packed house, I just didn't know how it was going to play because I hadn't watched it with people. But it was, yeah, there was a lot of laughter in the cinema, and a lot of laughter and a lot of gasping. So
Yeah,
it
that's
was
right.
fun
I
to see that.
gasping. I agree with you. There's certain points in it you go, "Oh my God."
Yeah, it was a good a process to kind of mix the really high dramatic points and the kind of the comedy of it, and they kind of went hand in hand.
Yeah, well, good job, good job. And it's got this. It's got a theatrical release. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so it's going to be coming out in theaters on November 9. So we're playing Dendy Cinemas in Queensland and New South Wales, and the Sun Theatre in Melbourne. And yeah, it's exciting because it's my most of the team's first film. So to have it come out in cinemas was really exciting.
Well, you're a very good filmmaker, and I'm interested to see what you do next. And I can only tell people that they will be buying a ticket that was worthwhile going to see The Big Dog.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, good job, man.
Thanks.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.